Good evening. I'm Tracy Parsons. I'm Community Relations Manager at the City of Champaign. I'm also the facilitator for our CU Fresh Start initiative. As you heard earlier tonight, we've had 47 shooting incidents thus far in 2018. Last year at this time, we had 35. So our work is not done as it relates to curtailing and working to eliminate our gun violence issue. We've taken on CU Fresh Start as only one of the key components to addressing our community gun violence. It really does take a comprehensive community-wide approach to address this issue. This is our fourth call-in, as you've heard. We had seven individuals here tonight. We have much work to do in front of us. Our data says nationally that about 20% of these guys will successfully engage and take part in this type of activity. As a community, we are functioning at about that level as well. And so we have to come together in a community way to reach this population. We knew that it would not be quick and easy to reach many of these guys and get them to change their course of action and activity that they've, for far too many of them, it's been a way of life. So we know that it's very challenging and very difficult and complex work. But if we're going to curtail and, as I said, eliminate our gun violence, our shooting incidents, we must run the course. And so we have our fourth call in tonight. We know that we'll have another one in September where we'll keep looking at and identifying those individuals involved in our gun violence, most likely to be involved in our gun violence, and continue to keep addressing that part. But we also have learned a lot over the last year and a half taking on this work. And so these guys are only committing a small portion of the gun violence. We have far too many of these shooting incidents that are domestic. They're interpersonal, one-on-one conflicts that people are choosing to solve through shooting and gun violence. And then we also have drug activity and that level of activity that drives a lot of our gun violence. So we are working as a community, law enforcement, community, and our resources, organizations, and that part of the community. We've got to just keep building this partnership, building all three parts of the pillars to address our gun violence. Law enforcement can't do it alone. The community members can't address and solve the issues in isolation without support. And in those organizations that are working with this population, we've got to do more to support them, identify additional resources to engage this population and then folks that have been involved in gun violence. So we are committed to the three-pronged approach: community, law enforcement, and those individuals involved addressing all three equally. It's an important partnership, and we can't eliminate our gun violence until we must keep running the course of working on these activities to address this issue. So we want to appreciate you coming out to support the call-in. This is a very important part of the work. We're keeping out in the forefront for our community that we're serious about addressing this issue. Again, we have a comprehensive approach with law enforcement working with community, with neighborhoods, with individuals that are involved in these activities. It is critical that we address all of the components together, and we're committed to that as an organization, as a community. Our gun violence must stop. And so 2017, we ended the year with a 25% reduction. But we know now that we're ahead of our pace from last year, so our work is still ahead of us and in front of us. So I'll be glad to take any questions you guys have at this point. And thanks again for coming out. Yes. Yeah, I think, you know, so one of the things we wanted to talk about is on June 28th, we're going to have a community-wide meeting to once again come together as a community to talk about what we need to do. Where are our gaps? What are the strengths? What do we have in place? What organizations do we have that are working with this population? And so obviously, you know, it's not as simple as just saying we need more money. It really is about how do we connect the needs of these guys or those involved individually. So many of them we still know have challenges with jobs, housing. Those appear to be the top two needs that have surfaced. But they also have some really basic needs, how to handle conflict better. Many have substance abuse issues. Many have mental health issues that are going untreated and unaddressed. And so when I talk about resources, it's how do we build all of those types of things in together to help support the needs of these guys. If we're going to ask them to change and do things differently, how do we support them for those that are wanting to do that? So, you know, that's part of why we wanted to have this community meeting. You know, we want to help connect and close the gaps and address those that have interest. And so part of that is creating a network, creating a system so that if there is an organization that has a program, if there is an individual who is a counselor or a mental health provider, how do they get involved? How do they get engaged? And so there's still far too many silos, as well as just not a systematic way to build the collaboration, to build the partnerships, and build the connection. Well, you know, that's part of what we want to learn about is, you know, what's the level of intensity that's needed to reach these guys? And so, as I shared with you, only about 20% of the guys remain involved with us. We've lost a number of them to reoffending. We've had a couple success stories where folks have finished their probation or parole. They finished the supports that they needed, and they've said, I am good, I'm moving forward, and that's fantastic, that's what we want. And so it's a very complex issue, it's a very challenging issue, and it's ongoing.
20% from the
first three call-ins? Yes. So, for example, we had our last call-in, we had 9 individuals that we brought in. And we were only able to engage 4 out of that 9. So one initially got in trouble before we could even get that person engaged. 4 made the decision to say, no, we don't want to participate. And then 4 have made the decision to work with us. And so that tends to be how it works. We are, as we keep bringing in new groups, getting more guys with very complex histories and backgrounds. And so, again, short, quick fixes are not a reality and not a way that we realize that it's gonna change. And so it's just going to take an ongoing a commitment. That's the reason I'm talking about continuing to build the partnerships, build the collaboration, build the community infrastructure. So we know that there's more guys in our community that need supports, that need help, need assistance, that are not part of Fresh Start. And so how do we build as a community the ability to address the population that's formerly incarcerated? It really does take a comprehensive approach.
For the people who have dropped out, I know last time it was like 30,
I guess at the last time, there were about 30% had either completed or were still participating in the program. For those who have declined to participate or who have dropped out, what do we know about what happens with them? Are you keeping...
Yeah, we have researchers working with us, and we're in that process right now of going back to interview all of the participants that we brought in to ask them if they chose to say no, why? Did they feel they can make it on their own? Did they not believe in this work? As we know, many of them don't believe that they're going to be the next ones to either be shot or do a shooting or commit a crime. And then they've dealt with failure throughout their life. So they don't have a lot of trust and confidence in their abilities to change and do things differently. So we're in the process of finding that out. That's important information for us to know. We've made a decision that instead of giving up on these individuals, we're going to offer them one more chance. And so that's the important part about the call-in is to reach out to say, we want you to be successful. We want you to change. We'll do what we can to help you if you are serious about that. And so it really is about these guys making a personal decision to change.
One thing that we've seen here tonight is that you all have, it's a community effort. You have everybody from the community. And last year, I believe you had a community meeting last year. I mean, how was the response after that? Since you're having another community meeting coming up, how has it been?
Well, it's ongoing. I think one of the things that we realize is that, you know, we can have a community meeting. We start building up different parts of the work, but it's ongoing. So we probably need to meet and share with the community what's going on with Fresh Start, what are our successes, what are the challenges that remain in front of us. So we probably haven't had enough community meetings to continue the dialogue, continuing to hear back from our community members about what challenges are they seeing, what are the challenges that these neighborhoods are faced. Most of the hot spot areas where our shootings are taking place are areas that we need to do more investment in through our parks, through our cities, building up their capacity, building up the infrastructure. That's an important part of this as well. So that's why we're talking about building the community part as an important part of this partnership. It's just critical that we bring more resources, support, education, training, opportunity to these hotspot areas where most of these shootings are taking place.
And you touched on this partially as far as talking about the history of these gentlemen that have come to get help or to have this call-in, I should say, for the recruitment. Is the most difficult part the fact that they have difficult years of history and complex history? Is that where the hardship comes of making them do better in the future?
Well, I think you heard from many of the speakers tonight, you know, many of them come from very difficult family situations, structural. They've been behind the eight ball, if you use that as a phrase, from the beginning. And so how do you, when they've had a life of lack of success, lack of support, horrible, bad choices, many committed to or with drug and substance abuse issues, many have untreated mental health issues. All of those things feed into the complexity and the difficulty for creating change. And so to bring them in on one night and say, you make a decision right now to change your life, it's something they don't know. So to have trust in that doesn't work. So we've learned a couple of different things. As you are aware, we're meeting with the guys now to talk about the process. So they will have 1 week to decide if they want to participate. And then they'll have 30 days to come in and get a full assessment. So we can learn more about where their strengths and where their challenges might be so that we can help put together an individualized plan for them for success. And so, again, that requires them to take a lot of ownership and a lot of responsibility. And they just don't have good histories of following through.
How is funding going for this program in general? Are you guys, I know there was some grant money that was received last year, although they asked for a little bit more. Are you guys getting ready to ask for grant money again?
Well, we are in the middle of our grant year. Those funds will go through September. And We'll learn more about if those funds are going to be available going forward. We were just awarded a new contract through the Champaign County Mental Health Board to support Dante Lotz, our community liaison through Rose Grants. And so we have another full year of that funding in place. So we don't see funding as a challenge or an issue. It really is about building the capacity and the partnerships to address this population. We have to admit, this is not a population of that the community's openly and jumping in to support, right? You know, and so that's also something that we're working to address. We have to get our streets safe, our neighborhoods safe, and engagement is the way to do that. I say all the time, we can't arrest our way out of this issue. We had a great year last year getting off the streets some of the most aggressive and more involved shooters, and this year we're higher. So it started all over again, so we can't arrest our way out of this.
How many people are currently participating in the program from three prior call-ins?
So right now we have seven of those guys involved.
And how many have completed and how many have dropped out?
Yeah, you're going to get me to be specific on that, right? So we have three that have completed what we would say successfully, and the rest of the guys have, those that have chosen to participate, we've lost a number of them to recommitment of crimes. I don't know exactly how many of them have been gun crimes, but again, we have a population of guys that make bad choices, bad decisions, and so we've seen domestic situations. We've seen driving without licenses. We've seen them be in the situations where incidents are taking place. So getting these guys to change their situations, their associations, again, many times it's their entire family structures, getting them to be able to see how to make those choices is it's complex and difficult work.
So there are no immediate plans to hire additional caseworkers like
at
that?
This point, no. We're not in a position where we need to do that. We're still working to address those guys that we have. Yeah.
And there's a new program. The woman, I forget her name, who also works on this.
We're continuing to, you know, I wouldn't say we have another program. I think what we're doing is continuing to look at how we keep addressing our individuals that are involved in gun violence. We're also exploring our younger population. So we initially knew that our individuals involved in our shooting incidents are 18 to 28. We had a number of individuals a little bit older than that today, and then we've got some increased activity around youth. So we're exploring and looking at that as maybe the next ways of addressing our gun violence issue. But those things are exploratory, and we're learning about them.
And you've said that there have been lessons you've learned along the way, and you've fine-tuned some things. You mentioned a couple things. Are there other lessons that you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are, you know, this is tough work, and how you build your partnerships is challenging. And so law enforcement has responsibilities, community has responsibilities, and so how you make that work to satisfy what everyone needs and wants can be very challenging. So we talk through, and we've got a lot of structural things we put in place, so as I shared with you, around the engagement. So we found some of the guys, if we didn't have the structure to say you have 30 days to get your assessments done, they might play and hold longer and maybe play on both sides. Got one leg in the bad activity and trying some things in the good activity. And so we've got to put some constraints and responsibilities and more accountability around them. So we've learned that. We also weren't prepared for the guys to reoffend. So what we had to learn once a guy, as long as it wasn't a gun crime, as I shared with you, a domestic situation or having paid child support. Many of these guys have a number of different things they're involved in. So we've had to set up a system for them to go and deal with their reoffense or the new offense. And as long as it's not a gun crime, once that's resolved, then they have the opportunity to return to back to work with us. We didn't have that structure in place initially. And so those are just some of the things that we've learned. We also now are really working hard to talk about what do we deem as success. So we initially started with just the intent that we wanted these guys to put the guns down. And as long as they did that, that's a form of success. But it's much more deeper than that, and it's much more involved in that. And so we still are learning all of those kind of lessons learned. And then we're doing a number of things around police-community relations. You know, we have a lot of historical trust issues between law enforcement, low-income communities, black communities. There's a lot of trust issues that we're working through. So we're doing more and more neighborhood-based community involvement, engagement types of activities. And so that's how we're going to work to help address those historical trust issues between law enforcement and the community. And that's an important work for us as well.
So how do you define success now?
Well, I think we're still working on that. The main priority is putting the guns down and stopping the violence. That's the ultimate goal. What we're able to achieve in between those things are still being defined, still being worked through. That's part of why we want to have another community to hear back from the community around. What are they hearing? What are they hearing that our needs are? How do we get more people involved? How do we get neighborhood individuals to feel empowered to not normalize violence in the neighborhoods? And so we're just doing a lot of training and information sharing to be able to address some of these social issues.
Just for the record, can you spell your name?
It's Tracy Parsons, T-R-A-C-Y, Parsons, P-A-R-S-O-N-S.
I just have one. The young woman who spoke, that was obviously new. I don't think a woman of her age was at the first three. How did you guys decide on that?
Well, an important part of this message is to have what we call a victim impact person. And we had a phenomenal person last time. Her daughter was referenced several times, who was lost, shot, walking down the street, and as the guns were, and she was really powerful. Diamond Walker was a phenomenal person today. She's a dynamic young student at Centennial High School who lost her brother at a very young age. She's very interested in being a lawyer, political science, politician type of person to address gun violence. So she's kind of come on the scene recently. We were very fortunate to have her here tonight to tell her story. We know that they're tuning out the law enforcement folks, but the community side is when we see their body language change, when we see they take more interest. And to see that young lady come out and talk about the impact of gun violence on her, we know that that impacts these guys.
Any more questions?
In addition to Dante, there's one city staff member who works on this program.
So we have a staff person, Raya Hageman-Davis, who replaced Vivian, and it is the staff person that does our grant compliance coordination activities.
And any other city staff on?
Well, it's on my radar daily.
Yeah, because you are the facilitator.
Yeah, right.
Are there still researchers? You mentioned before.
So we do have researchers.
Are they the same ones from the last?
Yes, we have institution builders. That's our researchers that are with the initiative. We're in the process of data gathering at this point, and we look forward to their work early fall as well.
Institution builders is the name of the...
Correct.
Okay. Yes. I know it's explained on this paper the criteria for the men who are selected or for the people who are selected to participate. So they're all out on parole or probation. They have some history of some gun-related offenses. Are there other criteria? I mean, obviously, if there's someone who has a history of violent crime, but they're still incarcerated, these are people who may have been incarcerated, but they're out now. or they may have never been incarcerated.
No, they're all on probation or parole, so they've had some form of incarceration. They're 18, so these are adults and older. And law enforcement, along with a few community members, identify our participants. So they're looking at their activity. Law enforcement is sharing the intelligence, and so we're identifying the individuals from those criteria. So thank you so much for once again coming out, and we look forward to keeping you guys informed. Hope you'll get a chance to cover the June 28th event, 6 p.m., and we want to hear more from the community. So thank you.